welcome to the kick-off episode of Creative Writings Podcast. I'm Connie. I'll be your host, along with my brilliant friend and co-host, Sahar. We are so excited to bring this to you. The idea of this podcast is to showcase unpublished, independent writers that until now didn't really have a voice, at least not a loud one. Our mission is to allow you, the writers, a chance to stand at the top of the mountain and yell.
Our first guest for the pilot episode is Carrie. Most of you know her as Sly, and she'll be reading from her book, Sub Rosa. Before we get to that, though, we'd like you to let you know a little bit about us.
I am your host, Connie. I go by Monique Stone on the writing sites. I can't really remember a time that I wasn't writing. It started with short stories about the misadventures of He-Man and Rambo, which really, really shows my age. And it worked into sappy, melodramatic, angsty teen poems about walking alone in a forest full of leafless trees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
As
the hot guys of WWE caught my eye, my friends and I ventured into what's now commonly known as fan fiction, which we so cornered the market on.
You copyrighted it?
Yes, we did. We should be getting royalties. Between changing interests and boring storylines, I'm all grown up now, and so is my subject material. Or, well, I'd like to think it is. I write interracial romance. It's not something you see a lot of unless it's in porno form, but then that's not really romantic. But I like being different, being a pioneer, I guess. Not that I'm a pioneer on this of any sorts, but I do like doing things that not a lot of people do. I've been writing with the intent of publishing since I was about 19. I'm finally getting the courage now to actually think of sending something in. I've had a bad case of writer's block for about 2 years now, but National Novel Writing Month was last year, helped break that. And now the plot bunnies runneth over, and that's something that I am really, really thankful for. I can't say enough how excited I am to be kicking this off. I can't wait to really get into this and work with my fantabulous co-host, Sahar.
Yes, that's me. All right, hey everybody, it's Sahar here. I'm 17 years old, going on 18, and I'm going to be Connie's co-host for the Creative Writing Podcast, just like she said. I've been writing short stories and novels, albeit pretty bad ones, since I was 16, but there's always room for improvement, right?
Right.
Right. Right. Which is why I still write, and not just for stories. I guess I try to put writing into whatever I do, even school projects. Which sounds kind of weird, but whatever. I'm going to be an English major at college, most likely Simmons, since I've already been accepted there and a couple other places.
Like nine other places?
Not nine. like three other. And that should be fun, definitely add to all the experience and conversations. And I'm pretty happy, okay, really happy, to be part of the show, and I'm going to try my best to contribute and make it fun for you guys, too, especially with jokes, because I love jokes, and laughter, because I love laughing, too. So enjoy the podcast. We've got lots in store for you.
So I was trying to force myself to focus on writing the other day, and we all know how hard that is for me, given my penchant for shiny things.
Your penchant for shiny things?
Yeah. Well, okay, so our penchant for shiny things, because we here at Creative Writings love shiny things. They're pretty.
They are pretty, like gold.
Yes, gold is pretty and silver is shiny. So I was trying to write, and I was using that Write or Die. Have you heard of it?
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
We will have the website up on. We'll have the link up on our website, but for those of you who don't really know what it is, it's an application that helps you start and stay writing, and it has various levels of prodding.
It puts the prod back in production.
Yes, it does. Ba-dum-bum. Each level has different ways of punishing you if you, like, stop writing. Basically, you start typing in this box for a time limit that you set, or now you were saying earlier that it's not just a time limit?
Right. You can just set a word count goal for yourself and just go from there without a time limit.
And if you keep writing, life is good. It's great. No worries. But if you stop for any given time, depending on what mode you've got it on, life can get a little hairy. With the normal, with a normal mode, doesn't it just like say, just give you a message?
Gentle mode gives you a message.
And, well, because I use normal mode, and the screen, it starts off as like soft pink.
And then it goes towards red,
and then it starts with this little horn, and it gets louder, and then all of a sudden it sounds like it's in your living room. But kamikaze mode is just straight up evil.
Oh, God, no.
When you stop writing, it starts erasing your words. And I just, no.
No, thank you.
No, because, I actually think that that's counterproductive because if they're going to do something like that, they need to, because they allow you to pause, but they only allow you to pause once.
Yeah.
And with something like that, I think they need to allow you to pause more than once, because what if the phone rings and it's an emergency, or your mother stops by uninvited and she walks through the door, or something happens, and then you come back, and 3/4 of your words are gone, and you can't get that back.
Because you don't remember what you were writing.
Right, and so I don't know. I think I understand what he's doing there, and the program's great.
Yeah.
But I just think, at least for that, and I know for Sunday Word Wars that we do for writing year, a lot of people choose that.
Right, and for those of you who don't know, Sunday Word Wars is this competition we have every Sunday. We put an hour aside to just write. You're not allowed to do anything except just write, and the goal is to write as much as you can. So we have a lot of, we have a range of word counts by the end. Like, some people might end up with 600 words, 500 words. And then some of the faster people might end up with, like, 3,000 words. So.
And I usually, I'm actually impressed with myself. I either end up with 1,050 or 1,058.
Nice.
It's never 1,052, 1,053. No, it's either 1,050 or 1,058.
I actually broke the 3,000 mark a couple weeks ago. I was so proud of myself.
Yeah, I seen that. I'm, like, severely impressed. I just don't have bionic fingers like that.
Right.
The Write or Die itself is good, and it's got me to where, because I used to be able to focus without Word Wars.
Right, me too.
But now I can't so much, so that actually has been able to get me to focus better.
Yeah, exactly. Even on normal mode, because when I use Write or Die, I just go on normal mode.
Right.
And I think even when I just pause and I see the screen starting to go pink, mm-hmm. that's when I get nervous and start writing again.
Right.
So the other thing I was thinking of, when I was using Write or Die one time, I was writing a story and I didn't know whether I should use first person or third person. Because, you know, there are different types of perspectives that you can write in when you're doing stories, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, you can do first person, which is basically diving directly into the character's head and saying, I this and I that. But then you have things like third person omniscient, where you can jump into all the characters' heads and say how they're reacting to whatever is going on.
Right.
And, yeah, what they're saying, what they're doing, and how they're interacting with others. But then there's something called third person limited too. Have you heard of that?
See, I actually haven't. As far, I don't really know because we were talking about that earlier, and I don't know that I understand the difference between that and first person.
Well, first person, you're using I.
Okay.
But other than the fact that you're using I for first person and he for or she for third person,
okay,
there isn't that much of a difference because. It's very limited. You're speaking with one character, and you're just figuring out how that one character interacts with others, interacts with the environment, that sort of thing.
Okay, whereas with third person, the regular,
You're going all over the place.
Yeah, you're getting into as many characters as you choose to. Yeah, I use, I generally stick to third. There was a story that I did about my cat where it's actually quite funny, and I was able to do first person with that one. But I generally, I'm working on a teen story right now that I called Northern Lights that I'm doing. I do third person, and I generally stick with two characters, but I'm actually delving into working on trying something new, and I'm doing I'm doing three characters now, and I like doing the third person, and I just kind of I take each chapter and break it into each character's thoughts. First person limits too much for me, and at least for me, third person gives the story more of a 3D feel.
Oh, I see what you're getting at now.
So what about you? How do you like to write?
Well, me, I just finished a book a month or two ago, and what I did was I had the prologue and the epilogue, and I did those in third person, like regular third person where you just go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the rest of the book, the main body of it, I have two main characters, and all the odd-numbered chapters were from one character's point of view, first person, and all the even-numbered chapters were from the other character's point of view. So it's kind of back and forth. So chapter one is like this character, chapter two is that character, and it just goes back and forth, so you get to see two sides to the same story.
Oh, okay. So it still moves along and still gives it more of just like the more than just the one dimensional field.
Right. You get two different environments, and then somehow there comes a point in the story when they actually get tied together.
Okay.
And that's what I really liked.
Oh, okay. When I work on like the third person, I like to write out the timelines like a plot line, almost. I write out for both characters almost like with each character I know exactly what's going to happen in each chapter almost like each scene.
Oh, I see.
And I never know if I'm using timeline right or if it's plot line or.
Just plain planning.
Yeah, planning. So I call it timelines and just hope people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But so how do you do it when you're planning for stories? How do you do it?
When I do it, what I do is I have a basic story idea, and then I take my notebook and I try to divide it up into chapters. Like, what I do is I'll have a major idea, like a major event that's going to happen in the story, and then I take little events and try to put them in a certain order so that they lead up to that major event, and that helps the story turn around and go in a completely different direction.
Okay.
But when it comes to actually planning it out, I very rarely sit down and write out the whole chapter summary because that takes forever. So what I do is I write a little blurb, maybe like two or three sentences, and that just gives me a little push. So I have a basic idea of what I'm going to write, and then I can just go from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I do, I used to be, when I first started writing, I used to be a Nazi about it. to where it had, I mean, I was like real strict. To where I would follow like everything I put down, and I would basically have it completely wrote by the time I sat down to write it, because I'd either have like full scenes wrote out or my friends and I would sit around because this girl that I've known since fifth grade, we used to sit around and help each other write our stories, and we'd have we'd help each other with our dialogue.
Oh.
And so I basically have like pages and pages of dialogue for scenes, and so I could just pluck it in.
That's neat.
Yeah, and I knew exactly where it was going to go, and I wouldn't stray from it. But now I'm a little bit more lax.
Yeah, you can focus better, right?
Yeah, and I can't just. A lot of people have, they have like a basic idea and they don't really have any planning and they just sit down and whatever idea they just throw against the wall and hope it sticks. And I can't really do that. I have to have somewhat of a plan, but if I think of something that, okay, maybe this will go better there, then I'll try it.
Right.
But I still like to have at least I wouldn't even say a basic idea. I know exactly how the scene's going to go. I might not necessarily have it completely wrote out, but I know how it's going to go.
Right, so you have, like, the major things and maybe a couple minor things, but you don't have, like, nitpicky details.
Right, right, and before it was, like, the nitpicky, I mean, right down to what they were wearing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty stringent.
Okay. Well, now we're going to switch gears, I guess you could say. But first, we're going to take a little break. And once we come back, we'll be interviewing Sly, just like we said we would at the beginning of the show.
5 to 1, baby. 1 in 5. No one here gets out alive now. You get yours, baby. I'll get mine. Gonna make it, baby.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. And now for what you've all been waiting for, please welcome Sly to the show.
Hello.
How you doing,
Hello.
Sly?
All right. It could be better being at school and everything, but, you know.
So,
it's a deal.
Are you off break now, or?
Yep, this is the last day of break.
I am. Are you ready to go back?
Not at all. It's midterm week.
Fun. So tell us what you're going to school for.
I'm actually a forensic science major with a minor in chemistry and a minor in human genetics.
Ooh.
Yes.
So what do you plan on doing with that?
That's a good question. I'm hoping to get a job as a DNA analyst in one of the many New York crime labs. But right now it's not looking promising because of the economy.
Because of the economy?
Yeah.
Okay, and so... What would you like us to call you? Do you want us to call you Sly, or what would you like?
You can call me Carrie. My
Carrie?
Name is Carrie. Yeah.
Okay, and I hear that somebody's got a birthday coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
22 on the 21st.
Hey.
Finally.
Right?
That's nice. So how long have you been writing?
Oh, I started writing when I was about 7. I did my first story, which was this, it was a story in a blue marble notebook called Little Ghost. And I guess I proved that I never finish anything because at the end of that it says Little Ghosts Halloween and there's nothing. And we'd finish a tiny little story.
Oh. So do you know what inspired you to start writing?
I'm not actually sure if I was ever inspired. I'm very Irish, and people that know Irish people know we're storytellers and we exaggerate everything. But writing it down is just an easy way of getting it out of your system. But you should come to some family occasions. It's stories all the time, and not all of them are very kosher, so to speak.
And those stories change a lot, right?
Oh, yes.
Each generation kind of tells it differently?
Or each brother tells it differently. I have 5 uncles and an aunt, and between the 5 uncles, it's a different story every holiday.
So is that where you get your ideas now, or do you get them from somewhere else?
Where I get my ideas a lot of the times is actually the classes I have. If you read my nanos, you can see a lot of my coursework in it. My first one had a lot of physics because I was suffering through physics. My second one had a lot of mythology and history because I was in history class. If I sit in class for too long, I get bored and I think story ideas based on what they tell me.
That's cool.
It's a good way to learn things.
So, you know, now we know what nano is. Why don't you break that down for us? Explain to maybe the audience what nano is.
Okay, NaNoWriMo is it's National Novel Writing Month. It happens every November. It's run by a man named Chris Batty and his team, the Office of Letters and Light. They're a really great group of people. It's basically you write 50,000 words in a month. Doesn't matter how good it is. Doesn't matter how bad it is. You just got to get it out there. And it's the best way I've ever found of actually getting my ideas on paper, because otherwise I am probably the biggest procrastinator known to man.
Right. So, what authors do you like?
All of them. I read a lot of Neil Gaiman. He's actually my favorite. I read Will Gibson, Stephen King. I love Tolkien, Ken Kesey, Brandon Sanderson, to name a few. I read all the time, so try to look at my bookshelf, but it's way too far away.
Well, okay, so are there authors that you don't like?
Off the top of my head, I don't know if there are any I actually can say I don't like, but there's a lot of authors who write stuff, like subject matter I don't like. I'm not a big young adult fan, actually, and I kind of yelled at for that, but I can't get into any type of high school drama lately, because I guess there was enough of that in high school, which was only 5 years ago.
Right. Yeah, you tend to have to, like, distance yourself from that a little bit.
So you said you like to read a lot. Do you have a favorite book?
My favorite all-time book is Neverwhere by Neil Gaiman. I can't pimp that book enough. It's fantastic. But apart from that, I really like dystopian fiction. So I always read Ender's Game, Brave New World, 1984. A Clockwork Orange is a definite big one on my list. If you can get through the flying.
See, you're like the ninth person that said 1984. Apparently, that's a sign that I need to, like, read it.
Yeah, it's a very, very good one. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Orwell's writing, but sometimes it does bore me. But that book is one of my favorite of his.
That's pretty cool. The other thing that I was thinking of was, do you have any songs that you like to listen to when you write that kind of get you going?
Any type of Irish traditional folk music or Irish punk gets me going usually. Actually, I just got the pleasure of seeing Dropkick Murphy and Foggy Molly live in the past 2 months, so that was really great. But it depends on what I'm writing, usually. I really don't like sad songs, so I do not listen to them. And if I'm writing sensual scenes, I usually listen to stuff like Nickelback or Nine Inch Nails.
So is there, you know, with, you know, having the certain music to listen to, is there a certain way that you have to have your writing space? Like if it's cluttered, you just can't write?
I mean, actually, if it's not cluttered, I can't write. My whole life is cluttered. I work constantly, so I throw everything around my area. But I'm very kind of OCD with things. I need to have my drink on my right, and I need to have my snacks on my left, or else I freak out.
Okay. Now, well, and speaking of snacks, what kind of snacks do you like to have? Like food and drink, do you like to have on hand with you?
Well, I can't have caffeine anymore, which kind of sucks. But I usually drink root beer. And I like to suck on things when I write, as dirty as that sounds. I always have mints. I always have Atomic Fireballs. I'm a big fan of mints. And caramel. I'm actually addicted to caramel, and it's a very bad thing.
I love caramel. I'm diabetic, so I can't have a lot of it, but I love caramel.
Oh, caramel is just fabulous.
So bad.
All right, so here comes the traditional question that everybody's probably been asked once. If you were stranded on a desert island, what three items would you bring, excluding a computer or a laptop?
A cell phone, an inflatable raft, and some food. But be more
practical.
Be more playful. I'd probably bring my Zippo, a good novel to read, probably, Neverwhere, and a bottle of rum, because if you're going to be stuck on an island, you might as well be having fun with it.
Right. And Well, so now you're Captain Jack from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. All right. And do you have a certain routine for when you write stuff?
A routine? Not really. If I'm writing quick pieces, like little short pieces, I just need the idea and my keyboard and I'm good. But if I'm going to be writing in a novel, I actually have to be prodded and poked for about 2 hours before I finally sit down and do it, because it's just a big, daunting task. But eventually I get there and I can write a lot of words in a day.
That's pretty good. Would you advise other writers to do something like that, to motivate themselves?
What would you advise
other writers to do?
For routine-wise, just write when you can. But the biggest advice I have for other writers, and it might be a bit of harsh advice, is there's always going to be someone better than you out there, no matter what, in everything. And as soon as you can really accept that, you'll realize that you're writing for yourself, and it doesn't matter what other people think. And if they want to say bad things, let them, because who really cares what they say anyway?
That's really good advice. So do you work solely by yourself, or do you write pieces with a partner?
Well, actually right now, with one of the people I talk to all the time, I'm writing a story called Misadventures, because we couldn't find a better name for it. And it's my first real collaboration. I role play a lot because it's just what I do in my spare time. But to actually sit there and write prose, it's not something I'm used to doing. So it's kind of an experiment this year. Hopefully we get going on it. So far we've done maybe 3-4 backstories.
Okay. So what writing resources do you use?
My favorite writing resource is probably other writers. I'm kind of one of those people that lurks on forums and reads what other people have to say. I love to read writing books just for fun, because I'm weird like that. But as long as I can see someone else's opinion on how they write and what they use to write, I'm usually pretty cool.
Do you have any writing books off the top of your head that you like to that are like your favorites?
Oh, actually, my friend Erin recommended Gotham Writers Workshop's Writing Fiction, this big yellow book. It's amazing. I do love Stephen King's on writing. I read Orson Scott Card's Characters and Viewpoints this year, which was a very good one. And I do have Writing Down the Bones, but I haven't actually finished it yet because I've been stuck in English class reading dystopian fiction.
So how do you, when you're setting up a story, how do you set up your characters? Are there special character sheets that you use?
I'm not a big fan of character sheets, just because sometimes they ask questions that are kind of insane. Honestly, sometimes in certain stories, I don't know why I need to know the character's favorite dessert or ice cream flavor, but what I usually do is I write short stories about them, and I take them on their own little adventures and see how they react. I'm usually the one that forgets physical descriptions, so I write them down, because there was a story once where the character's hair went from blonde to brown to red to black and back to blonde eventually. So I realized I might want to note that somewhere.
All right. So what's the story behind what you're going to be reading today?
Oh, all right. Sub Rosa is a story about two assassins named Roz the Lake and Ardra the Swamp Elf, which is my own creation from years ago. They take a shady under-the-table type of deal from a marquee, and they find themselves totally entangled in a giant mess that has Roz discovering her past, Ardra's going back to live with humans, which isn't a very good situation for him, and they end up saving the world, and they're not very happy about it because assassins aren't exactly people who save worlds.
Yeah, that's true. That sounds pretty cool. How long have you been working on it?
Oh, God, over a year. Since November. It feels like over a year.
Yeah,
finally getting
it
finished.
Feels.
Oh, it's
finally
finished.
Getting finished. No, not yet. I have one chapter, and I'm done.
So we really need to poke you and prod you and tell you to get it done, huh?
Need to be screamed at a couple times.
Okay, well, we'll get on that.
All right.
Okay, so that was our interview with Sly. And we're going to take a quick break now, but when we come back, she's going to read from Sub Rosa.
sent you a message, sent you an email. Hasty decisions, we may still prevail. Both needed breaks, we both needed the bail. Walking through the corridors of my mind, the hideaways and nooks and things were good times. Memories certainly, yes, they still bind. Still a common man, and yeah, that's for sure. Still a bankroll, and yeah, still couture. But man, this thing that we had was much more. Come back home, don't be out in the world. It's a bad race and no place for a girl. Amongst the scavengers, I found a pretty pearl. It's for the faint of heart who never get enough. Gotta get tough, buckle them up. We call them guts and we gotta
get enough.
We gotta
get enough.
Today is nice, come on.
I said we get enough.
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 I said we get enough. Today is right.
Well, welcome back. And now we're going to hear from Sly as she reads from Sub Rosa.
All right, I'm just going to warn you, I usually read really quick, and this is really rough. And this is somewhere in the first chapter. Ugh, it's all over my hair, her partner Ardra groaned. Shaking his long mane out, a few drops of blood spattered onto her face. She wiped it off with a grimace. Why did I have to get so close to her? Because you're the only elf in Cloverwood who can't use a bow. Roz tugged the crimson hood up over her head. The cape was a mark of her station, the lowest of low in Ravensclaw Assassin Guild. You name them, they kill them. I'm not from Cloverwood. I'm from Campathias. We don't use arrows there. Really, it's a waste of resources, and who's to say it's going to kill a man? No. We in Campathias use nice, thin swords that pierce right through the heart and soul and rip them out in a hole, neat enough to it barely bleeds. He took the hilt of his rapier in his hand, grinning through his makeup. The edges around his mouth were starting to crumble away, showing his green-tinted skin. And here I thought it's because you couldn't pick up a sword that weighed more than 5 pounds, she muttered, burrowing deeper into her cloak. The temperature near the Bay of Era always rested a good deal below the mainland, and that type of cold stuck in your bones and never found its way out. Very funny, Rosalind. At least we from Campathias don't lumber about like oaves as you humans do. I was sure you were kicked out of Campathias, Ardra, so why do you bring it up? A bit bitter? The road ahead of them veered sharply to the left, but she continued forward through the bramble. It's a hard life to live when you're an elf from Campathias with no posse. No person to live for or die for. I suppose it's why I take others' lives. The feeling of complete... Yes, yes, Roz interrupted, sighing at his incessant verbosity. We're going to the inn. And then to take the life force of the inn, he repeated, never missing a beat. His white pupils darted around the area as if he finally noticed he was in the middle of the underbrush. Not another one, Roz. We need the money. Put your clothes on. And that's just a little excerpt from the story.
Okay, so now we've got Bellatatra here to participate in our forum, and now we can have a good discussion.
So Tatra, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from?
I'm from New Jersey. I'm in community college right now and been writing for years now. Just finished my novel, started this month.
Okay. So what did you think of what Sly had to read?
It was good. It was interesting. It really was. So
thank you.
I liked the imagery of it. I was getting into it. I'm not necessarily into fantasy, but I noticed that it was keeping my attention, and I was wanting to know more and wanting to read more.
Oh, well, thank you. I know fantasy is not everyone's biggest fan, or vice versa.
I had to laugh because I write the high school teen fiction.
Yeah, I don't mean to offend people when I say it. It's just one of those things that I never really got into even in high school. I kind of skipped over my YA years.
I thought it was funny, but I thought it was really good. And if you needed anybody to edit, let me know, and I'll help you out.
Definitely.
I actually thought it was really good too, because I had seen bits and pieces of it up on that Canadian LiveJournal, and that got me pulled in too. But then when you were discussing the summary and how it was full of assassins. That got me really interested because I love that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't normally talk about the themes, though the big theme is traveling and getting to know your past and accepting your past. But yeah. I think that happened halfway through November, so, you know, the magical writing thing where, hey, look, I have a theme finally.
Oh, yeah.
What you read, what part, at what point in the book is it? What chapter?
The first chapter, the very, very beginning. I actually just left one paragraph out of the excerpt, and that's the second paragraph of the actual story.
How many chapters are there in the book?
Right now I'm writing the 16th. I expect there to be probably 17 or 18.
Okay.
Oh, pretty cool.
Long chapters.
Are you into the whole prologue, epilogue sort of thing, or just straight chapters?
I'm actually not usually an epilogue fan. I'm doing one in this one just because it's been in my head forever, and it kind of ties together something that if you ever read the whole novel, it appears twice already, and I like having things appear three times. Mm-hmm. So that'll basically be the epilogue, maybe a page at most.
You said you like having things appear three times. Is there a reason behind that?
Anthology.
I just like the number three, actually. It's kind of a religious thing too, and an Irish thing. I hate bringing up my past so many times and my heritage, but the number three is really important.
Three times.
Yeah, every
it's right there.
I'm good. Three times. I don't need to say any more. I will say, though, on Tuesday, we're going to be having a great party at my dorm.
Awesome.
So, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about first and third person. What made you decide to choose what perspective to write the book from?
I'm actually really bad at first person. I always really have been. I guess because everything I read usually is in third person limited, I write in third person limited. It's kind of the safe default, as a lot of people would say, because you've read it so many times. First person to me, it's great, but I can't do it.
Oh, what about you, Tatra? What do you like to write in as a first or third or third limited?
Third limited most of the time, just because when I first started writing, I did it in first person, and of course those sucked, but now I've gotten used to third person limited, so.
Yeah, see, first person, it's really hard for me too, although I wrote a piece from the perspective of my cat, and it seemed to turn out okay.
Yeah, find a lot of those.
I feel like such an outcast now.
What?
I feel like such an outcast because I like first person.
It's hard for me, and I haven't really found anything that I've read that in first person. Although I'm reading the Suki Stackhouse novels right now, and that's in first person, and that seems to be going a little bit better for me than Twilight. but that seems to be going a little bit better. But I actually, I write in full third person, and I rather like reading in just regular third person myself because it gives it more 3D feel for me.
Yeah. What are the Suki Stackhouse novels about?
That's what the HBO series True Blood is based off of. It's a vampire thing, and I haven't gotten into it too much, but from what I gather, it's basically vampires. They've found a way to live among humans just like another race. They know that they exist.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's I'm only... and there's nine of the novels. I haven't seen the show yet. My sister's really, really into it, says it's fantastic, and I don't read like I should. but thus far, they seem to be really, really good.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And the other thing that we were talking about was Write or Die. Hey, do you guys use it?
No, unfortunately, I don't.
That will prod you.
Yeah, do you choose not to use it, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan, actually. I'm one of those people that I like deadlines, but if you, like, reinforce a deadline on me too much, I don't do anything. I just sit there and go, okay, forget it.
Part of my trouble came when I had the really old laptop, and it, like, killed me to use that because it just didn't react right. So.
Was it really slow?
Yes. And then when I, you know, when I didn't type as fast, they go off. But then even when I typed in the letter, it would still keep doing that same old noise. I'm like, I can't do this.
Aww. Oh, so you were on normal mode?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever use kamikaze mode.
Kamikaze mode is evil.
Stupid.
It is.
Because it's like, all right, now I'm going to eat all your words that, you know, you tried so hard to write, so.
And now you can't remember any of them.
Uh-huh. Are you writing in such a hurry?
Right. And, yeah, and Write or Die, just for people who are listening, it is an application. It's an application that if you it puts the prod back in production, and it has each level has this way different ways of punishing you, and you type in a box for a limited you can set a time limit or a word limit, and if you keep writing you're good, but if you stop. Each level has a different way of letting you know that you need to start writing again.
Yeah.
And so what we're talking about is the kamikaze mode. If you stop writing, it starts eating your words.
Yeah, pretty much, which we don't like. And if you finish in time, you can get this special HTML banner. It tells you, I've written such and such words in this amount of time. So I have one on my live journal, and it says I wrote 1,000 words in 27 minutes. So.
And if you can write 1,000 words in 27 minutes, you have bionic fingers.
I know. I think if you can write 2,000 words in 27 minutes, you have bionic fingers.
Koo and all the others are getting like 2.5K and 3K in the Super Word Wars. Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're not exactly a slouch in those either.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Some reason, only in this Sunday Word Wars am I getting the almost 2K in an hour.
Those are really interesting. The word wars where we word wars are where we set a time limit and write our little fingers off for an hour 15 minutes and for a writing year, which what is the writing year link? Does anybody know?
It's the actual website.
Yes.
For the actual website, it's rai.co.nr. And then for the forums, it's rai.proboards.com.
Okay, and that is, and writing year is a variation of, is a variation of writing months, and it basically explains itself, which is all year instead of 1 month.
Right. And you can set your own word count goal. Right. It doesn't necessarily have to be 50,000 words.
Right. And so for the word wars that we were talking about, we set our own. We set an hour time limit, and then we write as much as we can for that hour. And it's a really good way to boost word count.
Yeah. I'm so unproductive during the week, and when I do the word wars, it just boosts my word count so much. I can churn out, I don't know, hundreds of words in 1 hour than I can in a whole week.
Yeah, I hear you there.
Yeah, so
no time during the week.
See, it helps. It helps me focus when I see when I've got a million things going on in my head and I know that I need to write.
The other thing we were talking about was actually sitting down and plotting out the whole novel or short story or whatever you're writing. Do you do that?
Sometimes, but I always deviate from the plot I plot down, so kind of pointless half the time.
Yeah, but it gives you a good starting point at least.
Yeah, I always have, I like to have index cards and I like to have plot points that I know I have to get.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, chapter one, make sure you do this. I don't care what else you do, just make sure you do that.
Yeah. Index cards. I didn't think of index cards.
I started using them this year, especially for rewriting the novel I'm rewriting in April. So hopefully it'll work. Hopefully. And I won't want to throw the novel out the window again.
I hope not. What about you, Tatra? Do you plot out your whole project? Or do you just go along with it?
I used to just go along with it, but it just... I then discovered that I actually only finish my work when I have some sort of an outline, or at least a deadline within the story, like a week or a month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been trying to outline. And I took over my novel last month, or in November. I just took over the plot.
Do you want to tell us about your novel?
I have two of them. Well, Flabbergast is the one I've just finished, the first of this month. And it's about a guy going to boarding school, sneaking his friend in, and convincing the whole school that the school is haunted. And then somewhere the woods takes over the plot, and then there's shadow creatures, and... someone who's possessed and whole huge romp in the woods. So it was strange, but it was fun. And I just
that sounds pretty cool.
So
you should send it to me.
I gotta post it online. I just have to edit it.
Yeah, editing's always the worst part for me.
Definitely.
If I do it at all.
Yep. So, anyway. I started another novel.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. This is, 3:30 today. It's entertainment, and it's, about six people locked in a house all in the psych for entertainment. Except... apparently, no one told them that they're going to be locked in the house. So right now, it's really fun.
Ooh.
So there's, like, hidden cameras?
Oh, yeah, almost. Except they're now locked in the house. And, yeah. So, and there's a host, and there's going to be games and such, but...
like, what kind of games? Why don't you give us a little preview?
Well, there's going to be two teams of six players, so... I'm trying to figure out games that are not going to be too cliche and too, like, camp story type of thing.
Oh,
but,
okay.
I figure I'll probably, like, end up leaning on the reality TV shows that are on right now. Except, hopefully not as bad as them. For some reason, it's reality TV shows are not my favorites because they're basically all drama, but...
well, and see, reality TV, I don't care what they say, it's not reality because you're not yourself when you've got a camera turned on you.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No. You'd have to be bugged. Your house would have to be bugged.
Oh, yeah. So
for you to be acting realistically.
I like the documentary type of things, like Ghost Hunters.
Like,
you know?
Ghost Hunters?
Right.
Oh, man.
I love
Ghost Hunters.
The new. But, yeah, it's like, shows about people in their own world, you know?
Right. So, do you guys have... we have a question from the chat room. Do you guys have favorite poets?
Poets.
Oh.
Langston Hughes.
Yeah, mine too.
And let's see, there's also this one other poem that I was just reading. I'm in a poetry class right now. So, yeah. Don't mind me. Let me find it. Let's see, it's Watching the Dance by James Merrill. It just has such beautiful imagery. And, yeah, don't mind me.
See, and I like Maya Angelou.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
Yeah, and Langston Hughes, big into Langston Hughes.
Oh, yeah. Let America be America again. I love that poem.
I have to be really childish right now. Say that my favorite poet is Shel Silverstein.
Okay, so, like, get out of my head, because I wasn't going to say that. Because I'm like, oh, no.
I love Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
I was talking about him in my English class the other day.
What about the person in the chat room says that they love James Merrill. Have you ever read The Black Swan?
No.
I'm looking in my poetry book and seeing if he has any other stuff in there.
See, I have not. I am not as versed on poetry as I probably should be.
Yeah, me either.
No worries. I'm not either. I'm not a big poetry reader myself.
Yeah,
the only other one they have here is Body. Don't mind me. Yeah. So, but I'm in a poetry class, so I'm like...
Well, I took a poetry class when I was in college, and the only person that we focused on was Maya Angelou, which worked for me since I totally drink her Kool-Aid.
I think the only poet I really know is, well, they're William Butler Yeats and Keats, actually, because
I
had one teacher that just went into poetry one day instead of teaching us.
Yeah.
I think we were reading Tartuffe and Candide.
Have you read, oh, God, what's that poem called? Oh, Ode to a Grecian Urn.
Yes.
It's by Keats. Yeah, it's a really good poem.
Yes, I like that poem.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm probably going to be taking a line from Yeats's Easter 1916 and tattooing it somewhere on my body, probably my back.
Really? What line?
It's a poem about the Irish Rebellion that failed in 1916 on Easter, and the line is, "A terrible beauty is born."
Okay.
And it talked about how that problem caused, all of Ireland's problems. Basically, the whole the hunger, the IRA, all that stemmed after that failed rebellion.
What about?
I also like history.
What about Walt Whitman? If you guys have ever read anything by him?
I've read a couple things.
Yeah, that's it. I can't remember anything I've really read by him. I know that The Mall is out by my house. I live by his birthplace, but that's about it.
Yeah, I have, a book or two of his, but I don't know. I read poetry for my poetry class, but beyond that, I'm, really bad at reading it.
Yeah, I need to get more into it. I need to get more into reading the older stuff. I've stuck mostly to reading the type of stuff that I write, which isn't necessarily good.
Yeah, I gotta work on writing poetry. I'll get extra credit if I do.
Sorry. Have you guys ever tried writing poetry?
Yeah, I wrote it when I was a teenager a million years ago.
Oh, your angsty teenage poem?
Yes.
About walking in a forest?
Yes. Yeah, so walking in a forest of leafless trees. Yes.
Jeez.
Yes.
That's kind of deep.
Yes.
And I wrote poetry when I was in, fourth and fifth grade because we had this class on every Thursday. We would learn how to write a different sort of poem. So that was really funny. was really entertaining.
Yeah, I've, yeah, back when I was, like, later, sort of a teen, I tried writing poetry. But now I think most of it sucks, of course, but there's this one poem I wrote recently that was a metaphor poem, and I actually submitted it to a Young Writers Literary Journal, but I have no idea if I've gotten in, so.
Okay, I would just like to take this time to remind everybody that this is the Creative Writing Podcast, and that we are talking with, that I am your host, Connie, and my co-host is Sahar.
Hello.
And who doesn't normally have a British accent.
Such a remark on that.
No, I swear, one day I am going to do a show entirely in a British accent.
And we're
one
also
day.
Talking, we're also talking with Sly.
Hey.
And Tatra.
Hello.
And they are also, and we're all authors, and Sly, earlier she read some of her novel with us and shared it with us. She read her novel Sub Rosa with us.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes, she did. Have you written other stuff besides Sub Rosa?
I have the beginnings of a few novels. Spectrum, which is going to have a name change eventually, was a cyberpunk novel. I have Crimson Honor, which is more of an urban fantasy. And then the novel, which does not get named because I hate it, and I'm rewriting it next month.
is there some sort of challenge next month?
No, me and my friend Erin, who unfortunately had to leave before, we wrote really, really bad novels sometime last year, and she dared me to rewrite a novel I hated in April, so I said I would.
Oh, I see.
And now I regret it, but... I'll do it and cry.
Speaking of challenges, we have a challenge for the podcast that we'd like to put out for. We're gonna and if people would send it in to momb411@comcast.net, we once you write it out, we will put it on the site. And the challenge for this podcast is to write a scene that ends with two people making up after a long misunderstanding that keeps them apart. And again, that that email address, I'll say it a little bit slower, is momb411@comcast.net. Once you write it, you can send it in to us, and we'll get it up on the website. And that website is the Creative Writing Podcast .blogspot.com. Again, that's the Creative Writing Podcast .blogspot.com. And Sahar doesn't know this yet, but her and I are also we're going to respond to that challenge ourselves and write it and put it up on the site.
Okay, why didn't you tell me this before?
Because I just thought of it this morning. And,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I talked to our producer about it. I'm like, hey, should we do it? And he's like, I thought that was a given. Oh, okay.
All right, thanks, producer.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, oh, okay. And once you check out the podcast, once it goes up, or if you hear anything that you'd like to respond to, please feel free to call our voice feedback line at 206-666-1974. Again, that's 206-666-1974. And I swear that is just the number they gave us. We did not set up the 666. That has nothing to do with how evil I am, I swear.
Yeah, so she says.
Yeah, so I say.
You're the devil in disguise.
Yep, and I would like to, and we have a couple people in the chat room who are, who are chatting but not saying anything, and this guest 8 and 9 and Owl, I'm just going to call him Owl because it looks like Owl Creek something. So we'll just call him Owl. Everybody say hi to Owl and guest 8 and 9.
Hey, guys.
Hello. See, I can pull off a British accent.
and now we have guest 10. His name
I'm
is...
I'm guest 10.
Oh, you're guest 10.
I am.
And it is... And his name is short for Owl Creek Bridge.
That was a great short story.
Huh?
That was a great short story. I'm going to talk to him for the whole time.
And I definitely... We definitely hope that in the future that you guys come back and you check out more shows by us, because we definitely have more in store.
Yep, and maybe you guys can even participate in the forum.
Right, so if you guys want to, like I said, if you want to write that challenge, write out the scene, we will put it up on the site for everybody to see.
You should totally write the challenge out in words on the Blogspot site.
Yes.
So my horrid memory will, remember it.
Say that one
more
time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. He says we should put the actual challenge up on creativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com.
It is up there.
In case people who are listening forget. Oh, it is up there already.
It is up there. And... You will be able to find this podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe to it on iTunes, and it should be available in a couple of days.
Because we're that cool.
Yeah, because we rock like that.
Yes,
and
we
also have on YouTube, we have our intro. There's a video. Our video introduction is on YouTube, and you can find our links to that as well.
Yeah. Alrighty then.
Okay, so we also have a Facebook. We have a Facebook coming as well as a forum, and also on the site we're working on getting a message board going.
Oh. Very cool. Okay.
Yeah, we're working. We're putting the Facebook together. And our next podcast, we're going to be talking about Script Frenzy.
Yeah.
And since that's coming up, and Script Frenzy, for those who might not know what it is, it's a challenge in April where you do a 100-page script in 30 days.
Yes.
And I was on scriptfrenzy.org last night getting the link to put on the site, and I noticed that it doesn't have to be one script. It can be a series of scripts as long as they're combined at 100 pages.
Oh.
And have you guys been on that site?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Have you seen the little plot maker?
Yes, I love that one.
Oh, Slide, you know what we're talking about?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it was so cute. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm on the phone with the producer putting stuff together, and I'm sitting there just pushing it, just reading the stuff off, just giggling. And to the point where I knew it was time for bed because it was becoming because it was almost stupid, and it was becoming way too silly.
After a disastrous safari, a horde of drunk musketeers invents a toaster that changes the world.
Right, and that is basically your plot. What we're talking about is there's this little application, and it looks like a plot machine.
It is the most awesome feature.
Yeah, it looks like a little slot machine, and in each window, there's a who, a what, and a why, right? Or is it a where?
It's, yeah.
And it randomly throws things up there, and it's silly, but it's supposed to spark an idea.
Yep.
Right.
And then you can also click on the Dares thread in the forums, and you'll find some really silly ones there.
Yeah, and but it's a but and I was on the but I was on the Script Frenzy site, and it and they also have a young writers program.
Yes.
That I you know and I think it's a really I think the whole young writers program is a really good idea. I kind of wish that they would have had something like that back when I was in school, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, you know, way back then. And because
she's secretly old and decrepit. Like
yes, very old and decrepit.
Oh, but we love you anyway, Plenty.
Right. But I think what Chris has been able to do with National Novel Writing Month and Young Writers Program and Script Frenzy, I think it's fantastic.
Oh yeah,
fantabulistic.
Fantabulistic. Oh, that's a new one. Alrighty then. This has been a lot of fun.
Definitely.
And I would like to thank all of our guests. I'd like to thank Tatra for being in on the forum, and Sly, you are totally fantastic.
I know. Thank you
for being our first guest and putting up with us.
Yeah, because we're that annoying.
Right.
Nah, not that bad.
And
oh, thanks.
Sahar, I want to extend a special thank you to you for agreeing to be my co-host
and putting up with you for 4 days in a row.
Yes, and putting up for me for 4 days in a row and not being home when I should have been last night when we were supposed to record.
Okay.
You know, I appreciate that. And I'd like to thank our guests in the chat room for listening to us giggle. No, I promise we are not in high school.
Yes,
I've been trying. Wait, you're right. One of us is.
Well, yeah,
like, that explains a lot.
I am. Excuse you.
You said, yeah, so who had to put up with who for 4 days?
What?
I said, who had to put up with who for 4 days?
Oh, thanks. No, I know what it is. We had to put up with the producer for 4 days.
Okay, see, now. But,
lovingly, of course.
And you can also find us on the Creative Writings podcast.podomatic.com. I'm going to go ahead and spell that last part.
Please do.
It's podomatic.com. Again, that's the Creative Writings podcast.podomatic.com. And we would definitely love for you guys to come back and be guests on our forum again. This was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It was fun.
And now we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back to close up the show.
So immature. And then when
much to all of those who participated in our first forum. And Sly, you totally rock for being our first guest. And every week, we're going to have a challenge. And the challenge for this episode is to write a scene that ends with two people making up after a long misunderstanding that kept them apart. So to respond to today's challenge, please send your submission to momb411@comcast.net. That's momb411@comcast.net. And if you have a comment about the show, what you liked, what you didn't like, what you want to see, if you'd like to participate in that, please feel free to call 206-666-1974. Again, that's 206-666-1974. And to check out the links that we mentioned on today's show, you can head over to our site, thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com. Again, that's thecreativewritingpodcast.blogspot.com.
On our next show, we'll be talking about Script Frenzy. Script Frenzy is a challenge in April in which you have to write a 100-page script within the month. We'll be exploring how to write a script, discussing the differences between script writing and novel writing. Ooh. As we sign off, enjoy Sly's favorite song, Everlong, by Foo Fighters. And keep in mind what Sinclair Lewis once said, it is impossible to discourage the real writers. They don't give a damn what you say they're going to write.
Nice. All right, peace.